Many times the audio visual guy is the unsung hero in the church. We don't pay much attention to him until something goes wrong. And then we're quick to blame him. But I want to thank you, Philip, and for anybody else who's helping you. You've done a wonderful job. And I failed to tell him that I switched messages in the second morning service. And so I apologize to him. But he was right there, Johnny, on the spot. So thankful. There's a missions conference like this doesn't just happen. That takes plans and preparation. I know the preacher's got his plate full. And if his plate is full, then Sarah's plate is full. And Benjamin's plate is full. And, oh, I forgot to say we had lunch at the Mixes today. It was wonderful. I got to meet Betsy. She's a lot of fun. I love dogs. I'm a dog lover.
And she's a different breed.
Yeah, she is. We have, my wife and I have an 80-pound, 13-year-old pit bull. 80-pound. And he's having health issues, so... But Luke chapter 5, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word, preaching on a message entitled Catching a Great Multitude, Catching a Great Multitude. I hope that since you've met me in the short time that you've heard me speak, you know that I'm a Bible preacher. I have nothing else to give you but the word of God. You don't want my opinions. You don't want my philosophies. You want to hear from the word of God. And every thought is going to come from these 11 verses. And I hope and I pray that I'll be able to be a blessing and a challenge at the same time. And just thank the Lord. And, of course, I have great affinity with Baltimore. I forgot to say that. My tribe of gypsies is from Baltimore. My dad was born in Baltimore. And so my dear sister has promised to get me a crab cake, but she doesn't have to. I could have had them tonight at the restaurant. Luke chapter 5, begin reading at the first verse, and we'll read down to the last verse, and I'll read aloud as you follow in silence. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, of course, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, you know that in great anticipation, I've been waiting for this moment to stand here tonight to proclaim truth to your people. And Father, many of them I've come to know on a first name basis. Some I've been praying for throughout the night and today, Lord. And so, Father, I'm asking that you would use me tonight to be a blessing and to be a challenge and an encouragement, if necessary, by the blessed Holy Spirit to bring a conviction in some area of someone's life. Now, Father, we understand the times in which we live. We may not necessarily like them, but we do understand, Father, that you're sovereign. You rule and you reign with a divine supremacy, and you haven't changed, for you tell us in your word that you're the Lord who changes not. And I'm so thankful that I can bow before your sovereignty and know that you will use your servant many times in spite of him. And so, Father, bless this night. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching of your word. Produce the product that you want tonight for your glory, for your honor. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said amen. And you may be seated. We come to each and every service amongst the gypsy people where I preach often, and we come to each service with great anticipation that there's going to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. We expect people to be saved. We expect people to answer the call to ministry. We expect discipleship. We expect maturity in the believers. I believe it was, I don't think it was Hudson Taylor. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things from God. And so that's what we try to do. Matter of fact, I'm disappointed when I don't see activity at God's altars. And that's because, as I said yesterday, God is a God of action. And serving the Lord since 1985 as an assistant pastor for 5 years and then in full-time mission work since 1990, I could just stand here tonight and tell you conversion story after conversion story of souls being saved and their lives dramatically changed. I would like to transport you 5,000 miles and especially take you into Eastern Europe and see the dramatic changes in the lives of our gypsies there. Matter of fact, I talked about Zafeketa yesterday. He was one of our first converts there. It was our first convert there. He is now sitting on city council in the town of Tinka. That's a big deal. If you saw in the presentation yesterday, you know that one of the names for the gypsy people is the Tsigan. It's a derogatory term, and as you saw, it means the untouchable. So to see a quote-unquote untouchable sitting on city council in a community, that's a big deal. And we've seen many souls come to Christ in Romania since full-time, since 1995, and Hungary since 2003, and just watching God work in great and dramatic ways. It humbles me that I'm allowed to be a part of it. And we come, like I said, we come to each and every meeting with anticipation. And a great multitude of precious souls have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:8, he said, herein is my Father glorified, so shall you be my here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And I remember as a young Christian when I decided that I was going to move into the disciple category. I was going to become a follower of Jesus. I was going to give it my all sitting out there. And I knew that as a follower of Christ, I was supposed to bear much fruit. So if you're here tonight and you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, you're to be bearing much fruit for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Of course, we can do that by satisfying Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After this, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So simultaneously, we're supposed to reach souls here, locally, domestically, where we live, and simultaneously around the world at the same time. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Well, of course, through the ministries of the local church, whether it's Awana, whether it's door knocking, whatever the case may be, passing out tracts, wherever that. I met Alvin. Alvin's a tract distributor. He tells me he's faithful at passing out tracts, and I asked him for some tracts. He gave me a big stack of them. I gave them to the ladies at the hotel and gave some to the restaurant tonight with Tanya. And so we are to be reaching the lost locally, our neighbors, where we shop, where we pump our gas, etc. But at the same time, reaching those around the world. You say, preacher, how do I do that? How do I reach them around the world? Through the missions program of your church, which is the design of God. Evangelism is God's design, and God uses us. And one of those ways is to send missionaries on your behalf, to represent you in Iceland, to represent you on the Ivory Coast, to represent you in China, to represent you with the American military, to represent, of course, represent you in Baltimore, and on and on and on. Brother Kim working with the Koreans, and they represent you on the foreign field. And that's how we do it simultaneously. In our text, we see about a great catch of fishes. And I said this yesterday, we're hard on Peter because Jesus said cast nets, and all he did was cast the net. You know what? Cast something. Put something on that faith promise card. Involved. The monetary amount is irrelevant. It's not whether you put a nickel or $100. It's the fact that you're involved, that God can count you in, that you're a participant, not just a window shopper. You're involved, and God blesses that. And God blesses unity. But in our text is a great catch, and how does it happen? How do we catch souls? How do we win souls to Christ? And Jesus told us that if we were to follow him, we'd become fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, a parallel text to what we read tonight. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in verse 10 in our text, he says that he will make them fishers of men. And of course, we know that they became fishers of men. Now, let me pose some questions to you tonight. Are the days of a great multitude of souls being saved over? No. And I believe we've come to a mentality in our local independent fundamental Baptist church that we've saturated. We've saturated. I can remember a day when we would have VBS or run a bus route and pick up kids, and you could say to them, well, you know what Moses did? And they knew what Moses did. Go try saying that today. Who's Moses? Go try talking about Joseph. Go try talking about David and Goliath. Go try talking about Jonah and the whale. They don't know today. So we have not saturated, and there's always a generation that's coming along behind another. And so the answer, of course, that there's souls still to be saved. Is the white harvest that Jesus taught us about past? And are we to rob the Father of glory by not bearing much fruit? The answer is an absolute and resounding no. There's still work to be done for the glory of Jesus, and that's why these missionaries do what they do. That's what those of you who work in Awana and youth groups and whatever aspect of ministry that you have, as we saw in the presentation, there's a lot of components to church planting. And so what are you doing for Christ? Now, I'm going to take some hermeneutical liberty with this message, and I believe I can. I want to preach this message symbolically like Jesus did. The fish in our story, he's not teaching these men how to be fishermen. They already know how, don't they? So the fish in our story represents souls. Help me. And the fisherman represents the soul winner, represents the missionary, represents the evangelist, represents the layman who has a burden and a passion for souls. And I want to take the symbolism just a few steps further, and I believe I have that hermeneutical liberty to do that. And so I want to get right into the message. And number one, I want to show you problems why today we're not catching a great multitude. And you'll find three problems in the second verse of Luke chapter 5. I want you to go to the second verse, and here's what it says. Here's what he saw. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. If we can liken fish to souls, if we can liken fishermen to soul winners, I believe we can liken the ships to the local church. And what did he see? He saw two ships standing. Problem number one, the ships or the churches are standing idle in the lost sea of souls. Some are standing idle, just going through general maintenance. They're just keeping the boat afloat. Pastor Kevin, my dear sister, Pastor Kevin, our pastor at one time, said this about the Independent Baptist movement. He says, Brother Walter, he said, the Independent Baptist movement started with a man or men. And then it became a machine. It was producing. But if we're not careful, it'll become a monument, and we'll put it in a museum for everyone to gaze upon. And I don't want to sound too critical. I am a fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptist, but we're not far from that. We've lost our momentum. We were the soul winners of this nation at one time. Cleveland Baptist Church, our sending church, was one of the 10 fastest-growing Sunday schools in America. It's in Elmer Towns' book about the Cleveland Baptist. And Cleveland Baptist is still a great church. But there's a problem that the ships are standing idle, or the church is standing idle, and they look like fishing boats, but they're not catching fish anymore. There isn't any smell of the salty seas on their sails, nor the aroma of fresh fish on their decks. They're idle, not doing what the Lord has told them and called them to do. The ships are standing idle, problem number one. Problem number two, you find it in the same verse. What did he see? Two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them. I liken the fishermen to the missionary, the evangelist, the soul winner. If I were to give you the statistics, and I won't bore you, I could bore you with numbers. But the replacements for the missionaries are not there leaving the foreign field. And by the way, we have more missionaries leaving the foreign field now, as they saw, especially these senior missionaries, veteran missionaries who've been on the field 40, 50 years, and using the pandemic as a sign from God, it's time for them to come home. But the missionaries to replace them are not there. And in our story, the fishermen are gone. We just don't have the soul winners. I couldn't wait till Thursday night in our local church. That was our soul winning night. I never watched the regular Thursday night television shows that were on primetime TV because I was out soul winning. I didn't know what I was doing, but my pastor said that we're supposed to go out and win souls. And I stood by him and I learned how to win souls. And I can remember the first time I led a soul to Christ. And so we are to be fishermen for the Lord and bringing a great catch, a great multitude in for him. The fishermen are gone. They're tired. Just like Peter was. What did he say in verse 5? And Simon answered, he said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will cast down the net. The fishermen are tired. Some ships have been abandoned by the crew. Some are discouraged, thinking that the fish are not biting anymore, or that the days of a great catch of fish are gone, and they're just going through the motions, not expecting any true results. I'm sure, Brother Callahan, you've met the missionaries who do that, because I have. Just going through the motions, not expecting any true results. So problem number one, the ships are standing idle. The church are idle. Problem number two, the fishermen are gone. I want you to see problem number three in the same verse. Here's what he saw. Two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and they were washing their nets. If we can liken ships to churches, fishermen to soul winners, what do I liken the net to? The gospel. It's what I must cast in order to get the souls. And you know what? These nets were hanging out to dry. They were finished. They were done. They weren't going to, if you come to Florida, especially northerners, when they move to Florida, many times they'll decorate a room in their home in a nautical motif. And they'll put ships' helms as lamps and all kinds of stuff. And sometimes they'll have a fishing net on the wall. And they'll put some starfish in there and some shells in there. And it looks nice. That's okay. But that's not what that net was designed to do. That net was designed to be, listen, we've got the gospel, we've got the KJV, but many times it's hanging on our walls as just decoration. It's not being cast in the sea. I want to tell you tonight, church, that the gospel is still catching the souls of men and women and boys and girls if we're faithful to cast it. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What's the gospel? What's the good news in the gypsy language? Elashivashcha. In Romanian is Vestibuna. When my wife and I went to Romania for the first time, and we were there reaching gypsies, but we wanted to reach Romanians too. I mean, I'll give the gospel to anybody who lend me their ear. Amen? Amen. And so we went to the open air markets called the piazzas, and we had stacks full of Romanian tracts, but we didn't know any Romanian, but we learned two words. Vestibuna. Now, this is former communist Romania, and I'm sure my brother will tell you that communism doesn't die real easy. It's lingering. But we would stand in the marketplace, hand out that tract to faces that were upside down smiles, frowns. We'd hand them a tract and say, Vestibuna. And a smile would come on their face. Not because they knew what was in that piece of literature, but they hadn't heard any good news in five decades. Hello. Yeah. The gospel is still catching souls of men and women and boys and girls who were only faithful to cast the watch. Now the ships are standing idle. The churches are idle. The fishermen, the soul winners are gone. And the gospel net is hanging out to dry. Oh, we need to be faithful to the Lord and do with that which God has called us to do. And he gives us three problems in verse 2. But I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't always show us problems without giving us the answers. Amen. Amen. You'll find the three answers of how to solve the three problems in verse 3. Read verse 3. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people of the ship. Let me give you three procedures. We got three problems. Here's three procedures to solve the problems. Number one, we need to invite the master into our boat. What does it say there? And he entered one of the ships, which is Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Why? This was Peter's boat. And if you know anything about nautical law, you can't board someone else's vessel without their permission. Hello? Permission to come aboard? Permission granted or permission denied? Jesus knew that the Bible says he entered one of the ships, which is Simon's. This is Simon's ship, and Jesus had to be invited. Hey, watch now, this is your ship. You say, wait a minute, Jesus is always invited here. And I said this yesterday, have you ever been invited to some social gathering and been totally ignored? And sometimes Jesus can be ignored. Though he's promised where two or three are gathered, his name, he's in the midst, but sometimes he's ignored. Sometimes we go through the procedures. My mentor was a man by the name of Dr. Garland Powell. Dr. Garland Powell had established Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples in Jacksonville, Florida. He was a visionary. He was doing things with missions way before anybody else. As a matter of fact, he was seen as almost fanatical in his vision about reaching pocket areas of people, people who were we mostly would bypass. And he said to me one time, he said, "Brother Walter, don't let your structure put your fire out." Y'all catch that? We become so structured, preacher. We got it down to a science. We got the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But watch now. We're not solving the problem of churches that are idle, fishermen that are gone, and a gospel that's just a decoration on the wall. We need to invite the master of the sea into our boat. And Jesus is the master of the sea, because the disciples said when he calmed the storm, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Jesus is the master of the fishes. The fish represent what? Souls. Souls fall into two categories. Dead souls or living souls. On a Monday night missions conference, we got the living souls here. Amen. Jesus said, "You're dead in your trespasses and sins," and he's quickened us. He's made us alive. And Jesus is the master of all the souls, dead and alive. Hello. Let's see. It was dead fish that he fed the 5,000 with. It was a living fish that he told to jump on Peter's hook to pay taxes. He's the master of the fishes. He's the master of it all. You see, without the master, we can do nothing. Jesus said, "I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that walketh abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." We can try to. We're blue in the face to do it without him. Preaching. I used to do it as a young missionary. I called it arm of the flesh ministries.
Amen.
And it fails. Isaiah says, "Don't walk in the sparks of what you have made, because if you walk in those sparks, you'll lie down in sorrow." I'm tired of man-made fire.
Right.
Hello. Hey, you know what? I'm an old carny. I know how to draw a crowd.
Amen.
Hello. Yeah. You know the guy who called you at the games to come in and play the game? That's me. But I don't want it that way, preacher.
Man-made fire.
I don't want man-made fire.
Amen.
If it's not God-made fire, I don't want no fire at all. Help me, church. He's the master. Without the master, we can do nothing. And there's three procedures to solving the problem. Procedure number one is invite the master of the sea into our boat. I want you to look back at verse 3, see the second procedure. "And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's." Now watch now. "And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from that from the land." That word pray means to ask. He's asking. He's not commanding. Help me, church. Pray means to ask, doesn't it?
Amen.
He's asking. Why? Because he knows who's the captain of that ship is. It's Peter.
Yeah.
Hello. And he knows how stubborn Peter is. So here's the second procedure. Number one, invite the master into your ship. Number two, start rowing at the master's command. Hello.
Yeah.
It might be just a little, just to thrust a little out from land. Watch what it says. "And he entered one of the ships of the Simon's and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." You see, when you thrust out a little bit, Jesus is going to teach you. That's what he's doing. He's just thrust out a little bit from the land. And we're going to have some lessons here. What's he going to teach them about? He's going to teach them about the ship, the local church. He's going to teach them about the fish, the souls. He's going to teach them about soul winning and being an evangelist. And not just a fisherman of fish, but a fisher of men. That's what we got to in verse 10 and 11, didn't we? And so he's teaching them. He's asked Peter to thrust out a little from the land because he knows Peter's the captain. He had to have Peter's permission to get on that ship. So number one, invite the master of the ship and start rowing at the master's command. At the beginning, it may be just out in the shallow water where you'll be taught about the sea, the ship, and the fishes. And after you have been trained, then he wants you to launch out into the deep. Look at verse 4. "When he had left speaking," what was he doing? When he's done teaching. Help me, church. Are we on the same page here?
Yeah.
Preacher, lights are on, but I don't think anybody's home. "And he had taught the people out of the ship." Now watch now, verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking," in other words, the lessons are over. Help me.
Yeah.
The teaching in the shallow water is over. Now it's time to get down to business. Now it's time to get serious. He's not asking in verse 4. Now he's commanding. Do you see the difference? Are you looking at your Bibles?
Yeah.
Launch out, he says to the captain of that vessel. You've been charting your own course too long, Peter. Now it's time to learn a lesson. I'm going to make you a fisher of men, not just a fisher of fish. I've raised you, I've trained you, I made you to be the disciple and the apostle that you're going to become. Watch what he says. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He's telling the beater to go out there with a big boy swim. That's where the big fish are. Hello. Get out there into the deep, Peter, and I'm going to show you a catch like you've never seen before. Listen to me, church. You will not bring the catch of souls in until you all go out by faith into the deep waters of faith. Amen. We used Psalm 107 yesterday. It's in those deep waters that you see the wonders. It's in those deep waters that you see the miracles. But see, you've made your plans.
Come on.
Hello?
Yeah.
You don't want to come out of your comfort zone. You've charted your course. You got your life laid out. This is what I'm going to do, and this is where I'm going to do it, and this is how it's going to be done. And you know what? God is the master of changing games.
Amen.
Hello. And the missionary said,
amen.
Launch out into the deep. Faith Promise Missions Conference is about launching out into the deep. And when I say Faith Promise Missions Conference, I'm not just talking about the Faith Promise card. I'm talking about you. That this week you'd say, that's it. No more on the shallow waters. No more Sunday school. Help me. Going out there where the big boys swim, where you can't touch bottom, where you live by faith. And that's where you see the great catch. Would you like to say, I led my neighbor to Christ. I led that waitress to Christ. I led that person at Walmart to Christ. I led that person at the drive-thru at McDonald's to Christ. If my wife was here, she'd be my witness. Every drive-thru, and we go through a lot of them.
Yeah.
Every drive-thru, I say it just like this. Hey, I got something real important to tell you in that tone of voice. And they stop. And I say, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And I give them a gospel tract. Now, I can't witness to that gal or guy at the window because their job will be in jeopardy. And I don't want them to lose their job. Sometimes they say back to me, Jesus loves you too. Sometimes they look real confused. See, I'm not concerned about my french fries getting cold. Uh-huh. Though I hate cold McDonald's french fries. And all God's people said.
Amen.
I'm concerned about that soul.
Right.
Give him a gospel tract. You would be surprised at what God will do with a gospel tract because his word never returns void. Now watch now, we're solving the problems, remember? And there's two procedures. We got to invite the master of the sea into our ship. We got to start rowing at the master's command to launch out of the deep and let down your nets for a draft where the big fish are, where the big catches, and then you'll see the wonders of the Lord. And then number three, here's this third procedure. What did he say? Let down your nets for a draft. Drop the gospel net when Christ tells you to drop it. That's how you solve the problems of verse 2 with these procedures, by inviting the master of the sea into your ship, by rowing at the master's command and dropping the nets when he tells you to. To get the gospel wet with the water of the word. By faith you drop nets, with doubt you drop a net, but drop something.
Amen.
Drop something. Put something on that faith promise card. Make a decision for Christ this week that you're going to launch out of the deep. You're going to reach those souls that you know God has impressed upon your heart to reach. Then I want you to see number three. We talked about the problems. We talked about the procedures to solve the problems. Now I want you to see the product, and you'll find it in verse 6. And when they had this done, everybody got that? You seen it?
Yeah.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. What did they do? They were obedient to the procedures to solve the problems.
Yeah.
When they had this done, they were obedient to do the procedures to solve the problems of verse 2. They obeyed his word. What did Peter say? Nevertheless, at thy word, because you said so, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, is that you said so. And whether I like it, whether I don't like it, whether I totally believe it or not, it makes no difference. You said so, and I'm going to be obedient to you. I had a pastor, I'm a young Christian, sitting in the pews where you're sitting. I had a pastor who would stand up at the pulpit, talk about the communities around Dayton. He said, we need to go to Dayton. We need to go to Park Lane. We need to go to Medway. We need to go to New Carlisle. And I'd sit out there and say this, you know, preacher, I think to myself, I don't care about Dayton. I don't care about Park Lane. I don't care about Medway. I don't care about New Carlisle. But I think this, but preacher, I care about you because I know how much you love me. And because you said I'm supposed to do it, I'm going to do it. Hello? Huh? You know, you can't always see what the visionary sees. He's the visionary. Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. I have a philosophy that I live by. When you can't see, hang on to somebody who can see until you gain your sight. Can't stay blind. So preacher says we need to go to Iceland, and he brings the Sears in. Preacher says we need to go to China. He brings the Smiths in. Preacher says we need to go to the Ivory Coast. We bring our dear sister in. Preacher says we need to go to the American military. Bring Brother Callahan in. Preacher says we need to go to Baltimore. And you said, we see that one. Yeah. Huh? Help me. Amen. We need to cast out. We need to follow the procedures. And when we do, we'll see the product. Look at the verse again. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they were obedient. They enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Well, that's a good problem to have. But maybe if he would have cast nets, and the net wouldn't have broke. Amen. But they were still bringing in the catch. If you'll go in obedience and faith, the master will bring the great multitude of fish to you because the master knows where the fish are. And we'll enclose the great multitudes into the net of the gospel. God has blessed our faithfulness and obedience to him with many souls won for his glory. He has directed us to the fish. We followed his plan, cast our nets into the deep. Therefore, we have a great catch of souls for him and other supporting churches. And that brings me to my fourth point. I want you to look at verse 7. And I want you to see the partnership of fishermen in the work of catching the great multitude. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and, read the rest with me out loud, and filled, say it, and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now watch now. The missionaries who are this week, here this week, Brother Smith is beckoning. Come on, missionaries, say amen. Brother Smith is beckoning. Come with me to China. Brother Sears is beckoning. Come with me to Iceland. Brother Callahan is beckoning. Come with me to the American military abroad. Dear Christine is beckoning. Come with me to West Africa. They're beckoning. They want to partner with you. Now, I know her sending church or her sending ship is Cleveland Baptist Church, my sending church. Brother Smith sending church is Vision Baptist Church, Alpharetta, Georgia. Matter of fact, I'm preaching there. I just got the invitation today, but Brother Snowden, I'm preaching their missions conference. Not the church's mission conference, the mission board's conference. Brother Sears, who's your sending church?
Coastal Life Baptist Church.
That's your ship. Brother Callahan?
Good News Baptist Church.
We know who his sending church is. Now, here's what they hear. Their ships have sent them here to your ship. Help me.
Amen.
And they're beckoning. They're beckoning. Help us. We're going to have a great catch, and we can't do it alone. We need partners. That's the design of God. Now watch now. When the ships get full, not only does your ship get full, but their ship gets full. Because they're going to cast nets on your behalf, and because you're involved financially, because you're involved prayerfully, you share in the great catch.
Amen.
Brother Sears, what do you call people who live in Iceland?
Icelanders.
Yeah, I thought so. Are you going to put Icelanders, if they take you on for support, are you going to put Icelanders into their account in heaven?
Nothing.
Yeah, you are. Jesus is going to help you to put Icelanders in their account in heaven. Brother Smith, are you going to win Chinese to Christ, wherever it's China or Thailand, either way? Are you going to put Chinese into their account in heaven? Brother Callahan, you're going to put American military. Sister, you're going to put West Africans in their account in heaven so that your ship gets full. That's what Paul said, Church of Philippi, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's what they're here for. We all know the Baltimoreans, if that's a word.
Baltimoreans.
Oh, don't say that. I'm from Baltimore.
That's what we call each other.
We know he's putting them in your account. Huh? He's going to get out of that Panera Bread place and get a building and every soul from Baltimore. I'm going to try to get some gypsies to your church. I won't take them to the Panera Bread because they'll make a disaster. Yeah.
Amen.
It's a partnership. Missions Conference is about that partnership. They want to partner with you so that they can put souls into your account in heaven. It's the partnership. The partnerships of other ships, churches, and supporting missionaries made of partner fishermen who give from their ship to send other fishermen who go to bring in the great catch of the multitude. There's the partnership of the local churches. I want you to look at Peter's partners in the verse 10 and verse 10 of Luke 5. Watch what it says. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were what? Partners with Simon. What's another name for the sons of Zebedee? Say it out loud. Sons of Thunder. How would you like to have them for your partners? Partnership. What a team. It was Peter, James, and John who was with the Lord in the garden in his greatest agony. What a partnership. It was this team that saw the transfiguration of Christ when the Shekinah glory. What a partnership. You know, you know what that tells me? That God blesses that partnership. Amen. We're with Jesus. Lost souls of the world are a great multitude waiting to be caught. For missionaries who are beckoning. That's what they do when they come to this platform and show that video. They're beckoning to help us. Laborers to join the team. The burden is too great for a few alone. There's just too many fish to catch. Our nets are breaking by the great multitude and we're losing some of the fish. And some of the ships are sinking because we need more partners. Now, the captain of the sea needs more fishermen to cast the gospel net. Now, I'm a bottom line guy. Hello. I'm going to cut to the chase, right? Let's see what the ultimate outcome of it all is. And you'll find it in verses 8 through 11. And I've entitled this point, Praise Over the Catch of a Great Multitude, verses 8 through 11 of chapter 5. And when Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? Oh, class, come on. He says what he saw. He saw the great catch. And watch what he says. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the what? At the draught of the fishes which they had taken. See, this is a miracle. Miracle number one, Peter had fished all night. They're not biting. He's a professional fisherman. He knows when the fish are biting and when they're not. Watch what it says. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes. He fell down at Jesus' knee. The ultimate outcome is the praise and worship of our great God and King, the realization of our own sin and doubt, the consolation of Christ, not to be afraid anymore. What did Jesus say? And he says, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In other words, he's consoling Peter. He's consoling Peter because Peter doubted. Had he not acted in doubt, he would have cast nets. And he's consoling him. It is the call of the master fisherman to become fishers of men. It's the praise of the over the catch of a great multitude. I'm going to surprise you with something. You're not going to hear very many independent fundamental Baptist preachers say what I'm about to say. It's not about souls. It's about the praise and worship of our great God and King. And souls are the byproduct. Dr. Charles Keene, you'll hear me mention him many times, one of my mentors, pastor of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, pastor emeritus now. And he said this, he worships God from a platform of service. Did you hear that? But we live in a day and age that worship is about a church service. Worship is about a song. Don't misunderstand me. You can worship in a church service. You can worship with a song. But watch now. Here, let me give you true biblical worship. You ready? Say we're ready, preacher. Here's true biblical worship, when we recognize that he's the highest of the high and we're the lowest of the low. Amen. That's why the patriarchs of old called themselves dogs. They called themselves dead dogs. They call themselves fleas on dogs. They call themselves worms. You can't get any lower. They're not on the ground. They're under the ground. Hello. Here's what they're recognizing. That God is the highest of the high. We are the lowest of the low. And in humility, he warrants, he deserves our worship. And our worship is from a platform of service because of my love and adoration of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm out there reaching that which he died for.
Amen. That's right.
That's what it's about. And souls are the byproduct. And after you have a catch like that, you know what you want to do? Catch some more. Huh? Catch some more. I'll close with this story. I was invited to preach in a gypsy church that was pastored by a Romanian, which is very unusual. And not that I'm anybody, but when they hear one of their own is there to preach, they come out of the woodwork. It was a warm evening. The auditorium, probably bigger than this auditorium, preacher. And I say it without exaggeration, it was standing room only. Windows were open. There were gypsies outside at every window. Doors were open, faced right outside to the steps. Gypsies were on the steps. There were so many people that me and my team had to stay up on the platform. There was no room for us in any of the seats. I preached the gospel. I can't tell you, but hundreds were saved in that service, lined up at the altars. I brought our team down. We always get them, we lead them to Christ, and we get their names so that we can follow up on them and disciple them. We just don't want them to say a prayer and not make sure that it was genuine. And there was an older man, gypsy man, who received Christ and got up and went back to his seat way back over there. His little granddaughter was here, and one of my gypsy workers didn't get his name in the book. So that we could follow up. And I said to the pastor, one of my workers, I said, go back there and get that gentleman's name and make sure his name is in the book. And his little granddaughter here hollered and said, Grandpa, is your name in the book? Now, she took the book seriously. You know, we know his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, Granddaughter, my name's not in the book yet, but it's going to be in the book. And he meant the literal book. Hundreds were saved that night. Why? Because we solved the problems. We invited the master to sea into our ship. We started rowing at the master's command. And we cast the gospel net and solved the problem. And I could tell you evangelistic story after evangelistic story how God has moved in, catching a great multitude for his glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. I'm not going to handle the invitation very long, Pastor. I want you to come. Who tonight by an uplifted hand would say, Preacher, I want a great catch for the glory of Jesus. Would you put your hand up all over the auditorium? I want a great catch for the glory of Jesus. Let me put your hands down. Who would say tonight, Preacher, I have plans, but I'm willing for God to change my plans. All over the auditorium. Yes, many hands. Let me put your hands down. Here's what goes along with that last hand raising. Start rowing at the master's command. Then launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor's going to come. Father in heaven, bless the invitation for your glory, for your honor. We love you. You saw the hands, Lord. Those who want to be catch a great multitude and those who are willing to come out of their comfort zone. Change their plans for you, whatever you want it to be. I pray that there are those who would answer the call to be full-time fishermen and fill this ship up with a great catch and other ships that they would help, Lord. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
As she plays, the altar's open. Some have come. Won't you? Won't you have a time of prayer? A time of commitment. Consecration. I'm yours, Lord.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming the good news.
Amen.
Wedding
Thank you, Jesus.
Families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. wants to tell his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead
one. Won't you just row at the Master's command?
To the Savior.
He trains us in the shallows so we can launch out into the deep.
Tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus, far away or door to door. Just like somebody told you, Jesus loves you so. You must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. One can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach
Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we are thankful that you've provided us the old gospel ship. And God, that in here we are taught and trained. And Father, tonight we ask that you'd speak. Speak clearly to each heart as we obey. And Father, we ask that you, for your glory, would glorify yourself in us and through us. And catch a great harvest for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.